seen a harvest field this Thanksgiving season. It's possible you could be in Surrey, Langley, Vancouver, and not actually get, you know, the feel for the harvest field, standing there in the thick of the grain growing, the dust and all that's involved in harvesting. Now, of course, you'll find lots of silos down in Vancouver and North Vancouver that are storing they may not store millions of tons at one time, but they handle millions of tons during any season and any year. And wheat is the biggest crop that Canada produces each and every year. And our prairies are a vast sea of wheat fields that the farmers gather in, the railways, they bring it here to Vancouver, and then the ships, they take it around the world to feed the millions with Canadian wheat. Now, wheat has been grown in the world for thousands of years. God created wheat 6,000 years ago. I'm not sure how many strands of wheat that he grew or produced in that first act of creation. I don't know how many wheat seeds were already in the first act of God, but they certainly multiplied and multiplied and multiplied until we have a vast supply of wheat all around the world. Now, the Lord Jesus told a wonderful parable about the wheat farmer. A wheat farmer who had a problem. But first, let me tell you how the workers of the field would have gone to great lengths to produce a wonderful, bountiful crop of wheat. As all farmers do, they had to start with the preparation of the soil. And they keep working at it and working at it, getting all the stumps and the rocks out, finding it down and down and down until it is as fine as dust, because you want those roots to go deep, unobstructed by anything. And so after that work was done, they would have been given the seed by the farmer, and they would have made sure that they planted it in almost every square inch of the field, and then they would pat it down to make sure that that seed's in contact with the soil. They might even cover it up just ever so little to make sure that it's going to germinate and that it's going to be fine. Now, the soil needed to be right. The weather needed to be right. They would need just enough rain, not too much that would make the field sticky and mucky. So they would hope for the right weather, and then the sowing would take place. And the job would get done, and there is a sense of pride in the work. You know, we've got it done now. We've got the seed in. We've got everything completed, and we're just going to watch that seed grow. And as these farm workers did so, their pride was turned to frustration, because they went back to the farmer and they said, "Was that good seed that you gave us to sow? Because we've noticed all these tares, thousands of them, growing in the field everywhere in the middle of all the wheat." And the farmer insisted, "That was the very best seed that was grown that I gave to you." The problem is certainly not with the seed. And immediately the farmer came to the conclusion, "An enemy hath done this. Someone has come even in the nighttime while we slept, and has sown these evil seeds of the tares all over the field to cause this massive problem." And so the workers began to ask, "What are we going to do? Shall we go and pull them up and get rid of these tares?" And the farmer wisely pondered and thought, "No, we're not going to pull up these tares. We're going to let both grow together until the harvest time. We're going to let them abide side by side and enjoy the sunshine and enjoy the rain, and we'll give everything the same care along the way for the growing season until the harvest. And the workers were not so happy. And I can assure you that if the wheat were people, they wouldn't be as happy either, because these tares were ugly. And they were bullies. They pushed their way around in the field and they made the wheat to feel crammed in and not able to grow as well. And of course, the workers could see this, but they had to obey their owner and say, well, we're going to leave them until the harvest time, and then we will see what happens. And then in harvest, the farmer gave the command, I want you to do this. The first thing to do is to pull up the tares now. Because when things are ripe, the roots will allow you to pull up the tares. And I want you to put them in bundles, huge piles. And you can imagine a sense of joy that there would have been in the workers. Now's our hour. We're going to get those fellows and pull them up and stack them up into a huge pile. And then they would take the fire and light the pile of tares. And you could hear that fire crackling as the heat got up and the red heat in the center of the pile and the smoke would bellow and the workers would say, serve you fellows right for growing in our wheat field. And then the happiest day of all, when the tares were all gone, maybe the same day, but as soon as the tares were dealt with, they began to harvest in the wheat into the farmer's barn. That was a happy day. Every farmer knows something of the joy of gathering in the harvest so that before the storms come, before damage is given to the crop, and you can get every pickle, if possible, into the barn, and there it is safe for future use or for future sale. Now, that parable has a tremendous truth built right into it, because that's what God is doing in this world every day. He's letting the wicked and the righteous grow together side by side. And sometimes we would look on and say, I'm getting frustrated with this. The wicked person is prospering. The good person is being pushed around. Why does God allow this? But God in his wisdom has determined that he will allow the wicked to have their way in their rebellion, in their evil. And he is going to allow that until the day of judgment. And that will be the day of separation. That will be the day when the wicked are cast into the eternal lake of fire. And that will be the day when the Christian, the believer who is made righteous through the gospel, will be gathered into heaven, into God's barn, to enjoy eternal life with God with wonderful safety. And that is a lesson that we need to remember all through life. Because when you look at those who break maybe every one of God's 10 commandments, they're idolaters, they're blasphemers, they use bad language, they take God's day and make abuse it, and they go and do anything they like, and they live for pleasure. And we wonder, how can these people do so well? Remember, God allows the wicked to fatten for the day of judgment. But he has reserved the righteous, the godly, the Christian, for glory. And that will govern your thinking. It will govern your attitude. And instead of wanting to be like the wicked and ape their ways, you will pity them and pray for them, and desire that they too might be made wheat that are brought into God's wonderful kingdom.